Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Wednesday's message is a lesson about one of the most important virtues a Christian must seek to have: humility. Bishop Dag will teach you 7 reasons why you must be determined to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord at all times. The message will help you to understand what it means to be humble whilst giving you wisdom on how to fight the invisible and evil enemy of pride. From listening, you will also discover a formula that you can practically apply in order to walk in humility. Today's teaching will assist in helping you detect, recognize, and overcome the spirit of pride.
All right. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thanks so much for this opportunity to be in church this morning. We ask you to guide us by the Holy Spirit into all of your will and your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we are continuing in our very important message on humility. Amen. Humble yourself. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse number 6. Why must we humble ourselves? Number one, you must humble yourself because God resists proud people. How many have enough enemies in the world before you add God as your enemy? To become the one who is resisting you. Amen. So you must be humble. Otherwise, you'll find that God is resistant. Not that God is resistant to your prayers, but God resists you or opposes you. God fights you. Mercy. Number two, you must humble yourself because God gives grace to humble people. Amen. So how many want God to give you grace? What does grace mean? Grace is the undeserved help from God. How many know that we all do not deserve to be helped? We deserve to be bent and grilled and fried for our sins. Do you have sins? Most of you are righteous looking. You've all spotted this morning. And you look good. So you think you are righteous. But I tell you, all your spots cannot wipe away your sins. Mercy. So what we need is grace. If you are on this earth, what you need is grace. More than anything else. You need grace. Okay? Okay? There's nothing that you are owed by God legally. It's just grace. Everything is by grace. That is why the people in the Bible, when they saw Jesus passing by, shouted for mercy. When blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he didn't shout, "I demand my rights by the constitution of Jerusalem, that you stop here right now and heal me." No, he didn't say anything like that. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." That's all. That's what we can all ask for. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't say, "I command and demand by constitutional instrument number 74 that this and this should be done." No, not rubbish. "Thou son of David, mercy." So God gives grace and help to a lot of people, but he gives to a particular group of people. And that group is the humble person. Amen. But you see, it is easier said than done to be humble. Because pride is invisible. Isn't it? So you often think you are humble when you are proud. Few people know how proud they are. That is why in this lesson, we are trying to establish what is it that is pride in our lives. Amen. And if we can know, we will help. It will help us to shed off this invisible evil that comes so naturally on our lives. Tell your neighbor, there is an invisible evil that settles on you and me. It's called pride. Mercy. Number three, humble yourself so that you will be lifted up to the next level of your life. How many want to go in 2013 to the next level? Because James chapter 4, verse 6 says that he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so that he may lift you up. James chapter 4, verse 10. God will lift you up. How many want a lift? Ah, it's so much nicer to get into a lift and climb than to climb the stairs one by one. How many want a lift this year? Ah, Lord, send a lift. Save us from the staircase. Do you remember those twin towers that collapsed in America? Do you know that it took like something like 30 minutes even to come down from up there, 100 floors, 80th floor. You don't come down in 5 minutes. It's a long journey down. So even though when the first plane hit this one, you find out some people were still up there. I know somebody who was in the somebody whose wife was in the tower. She was in the next one. The first one hit this side and she was in the next one. And they announced, he said to me, they announced in the tower that everything is so everybody should just go back to work and all that. And she decided she wouldn't stay. So she started coming down. And her boss was up. So she left her boss. And you couldn't take the lift. So you go down. It takes a long time to even come down. How much more to go up? If you don't have a lift, you are going to be hot. Tell somebody, if you don't have a lift this year, I don't really know how things are going to turn out. Wow. How many want a lift? Okay. Number four, humble yourself so that you will be covered and protected. When you are humble, you are protected, because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, be clothed with humility. Humility is a kind of protection. Humility is a kind of protection. If you are on a plane ever, and the plane is hijacked, and they ever decide to release some people, if you happen to be one of the children, you may be one of the people to be let out. Is it not true? They'll say maybe women and children, or sometimes the women are as bad as the men, so they may say the children should go out. So when you are humble like a child, you may be one of the people who will be protected from that bad thing. Amen. A lot of people have gone to Rwanda and some of the other countries that have had bad experiences to adopt children. Do you understand? And they don't adopt grown-ups. How many of you would like to be adopted by an American? Aha. To get an American passport. Hey. But you see, you are too big. Even when they see you, they say, this guy is some way. His mind is not correct. Mercy. So humility is clothing as well. Amen. Then, how many have I given you? Number five, Humble yourself so that you can be exalted by God. Because when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Okay. That is why I would advise you not to criticize people who have been exalted by God. Because for all you know, the person is humble in the sight of God. And God has elevated the person. But to you, maybe the person is proud. It's like he feels good. And many times, people who we call proud are not proud. And sometimes we who think we are humble are proud. So careful. Amen. Number six, humble yourself because pride is the signal for your soon to come destruction, your fall. Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Wow. How many are coming low this year? What is going to bring you low this year? Your pride, your bigness. Okay? Are you there? Are you with me? Being big is going to bring you low this year. So let us decide to humble ourselves. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. Come sing it for me.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up.
All right, beautiful. Number seven, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord because pride is demonic. Amen. In Job chapter 41, this is where the theory of the marine spirit comes from. Job 41, you see the concept of Leviathan, which is the dragon in the water. Okay? And then in Job 41, you see, look at verse 1. It says, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his core, his tongue, with a cord, which thou lettest down? Verse 2, read on. Can thou put a hook in his nose or bore his jaw with a thorn? All right. Verse 3. Will he make many supplications unto thee and speak soft words unto thee? That is when you catch the dragon with a hook. Will he speak nicely to you? Verse 4. Will he make a covenant with you and will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? Or will thou bind him for thy maidens? Will you play with Leviathan like a bird? Okay? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Next. Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Can you just kill him like that? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? He's talking about Leviathan. Okay? Some of you don't know Leviathan, but it's a real entity. None is so fierce that dares tear him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Verse 11. Who has prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever under the heaven is mine. Verse 11. And now verse 12. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his faith? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride. He's shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together. And you see, this is a description of the devil. By his kneesings a light does shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. This is not talking about an animal. is now beginning to describe something else. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together, and they are firm in himself. His heart is as firm as stone, yea, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of the breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. Verse 28, the arrow cannot make him flee. Verse 29, darts are counted as stubble. He laugh at the shaking of his spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth part sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot, and he maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. Now notice, verse 34. He beholdeth all high things, and he is a king over all the children of pride. He is a king. Leviathan is a king over all the children of pride. Circle that verse for 34 in your Bible. Those of you who don't have Bibles, there's something wrong with you. Okay, there's something wrong with your spiritual life, I'm telling you. Job 41, verse 34, it says, he is the king over all the children of pride. Satan or Leviathan is the king of the children of pride. How many want Satan to be your king? Mercy. I don't think so. So, in humbling ourselves, we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to be humble? And notice in Luke chapter 22, verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but you shall not be so. Amen. All right? He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as this child. But in Matthew 18, it describes it better. And he says from verse 1 to 3, it tells us that if you are not humble like this child, okay, you cannot be enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 2. All right. Jesus called to the little child and set him in the midst. And verse 3, he said, except you are converted, all right, and become as little children, you cannot enter. And verse 4, it goes on and says, whosoever therefore shall not humble himself. Everybody say humble. As this little child, he is the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So what are the characteristics of a child? So in order to fight this invisible enemy of pride, we have come up with a simple formula. To be humble means to be like a child or to be like a servant. So we are looking at what does it mean to be like a child. Are you with me? Okay. And number one, I gave you the last time, when you are humble like a child, you forget and forgive. Is that not so? Number two, when you are humble like a child, you learn new things. Is that not so? You sit down and you are taught. When you are humble like a child, you are conscious of the riches of others, isn't it? When you are not like a child, when you are no more like a child, you are conscious of money, what money somebody has. And what's the fourth one? When you are humble like a child, you are conscious of your tribe. Is that not so? You are not conscious of the tribe, because children don't know your tribe. No child assesses you by your tribe. Is that not so? All right. So, number three and number five, when you are humble like a child, you copy things easily. You copy. Amen. So copying is a sign of humility, because children copy. You tell them, say fantastic. The child say fantastic. Say amazing grace. The child will say amazing day. Amazing grace. Amazing day. But a grown-up does not easily do that. So you see that copying is a sign of humility. Not in exams. That's a sign of cheating. But copying is a sign of humility. So wherever you find people who copy easily what somebody else is doing, usually find a humble person. Now when you find a humble person, you find somebody who is lifted up. But where you find people who find it difficult to copy, now this is different from learning. Sitting down to, because as you are sitting down and I'm sharing the word of God with you, or I'm teaching the word of God, maybe you are sitting down and listening, but you may not be learning, but you may be listening and learning, but that doesn't mean you are copying. Copying is a completely different thing. So many of us would become so great if we could just copy. But because we are too big to copy something that is successful, we are never able to go up high. Look at this television up there. This should be the greatest teaching on humility. This is a Samsung TV. Right? Samsung. Do you know Yonggi Cho, pastor who dedicated the Collegono Cathedral for us? Pastor of the largest church. You see, he said that many years ago in Korea, Samsung is made in Korea. He said many years ago, he was preaching, or he suggested that one day Koreans can also make a television. And he said people laughed at him. They laughed at him. They laughed at him. Today, almost all the televisions are Korean made. Now, how did they make the things they make? If you go to Korea, you'll find the greatest number of copycats in one country that you can find. You'll find in Korea. You just have to visit to see. They copy everything. That is how come they are probably the number one car producer in the world today. They just copy the cars. Today, you see, when you see a Hyundai or a Daewoo or what are the other cars they make? A Kia. You sort of can't tell what car it is. But when they started making the cars, all right, they copied 100%. 100%. The Daewoo was copying the Opel. 100%. So you see the shape of the Opel, everything with the Opel engine. At first they copied the body, then they copied the engine. So you could buy a body, Korean made Opel body with the written Daewoo on it, and inside is Opel engine. It's not what they say, it's what I've seen practically in Ghana. And then you could buy, I had a car, you know, I had an accident with that car. It was a SsangYong. That one, they were copying the Benz. And my car at that time was a SsangYong. It was with the outside they made, but they had not yet perfected the copying of the engine. So inside was a Mercedes Benz. When you open the bonnet, you see the Mercedes Benz sign on it. They have not yet reached that place of copying, but they have copied the other parts coolly. Copy and paste. 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 I mean, you will notice that anywhere people advance and surge forward, they copy. So you see that Apple have made iPhone, and these Samsung people are shamelessly copying what they do. So even they are now suing them for copying. It's like your copying is too much. It's just too much. Everything we do, you just copy. Because copying makes you catch up with the person who is ahead. That's what people don't realize. I don't mean learning a lesson from somebody. I don't mean listening to teachings. I mean copying what the person is doing exactly. 100%. This is the secret. And you see, it is children. When I send missionaries and they are even about 30-something years old, they struggle with the language. I sent some missionaries to Venezuela. Their daughter was able to speak Spanish She's just rattling and chatting and whatever in Spanish. But the parents, you see them stammering and struggling to speak. Because, you see, we are so big that it's so difficult for us to copy. And even to look silly. When you copy, people will laugh at you.
Yeah.
I would have been fluent in Twi by now if it wasn't for my pride. Yeah, it must be. What else is it? Yeah, because if I say something, people will laugh at me. Sometimes the word is in my mouth, but I feel that if I say, they will laugh. So I just keep the word in my mouth. Yeah, I know you are sorry, but it's too late. So many things we would have learned if we were ready to copy. So people must learn to copy. It leads you to prosperity, but you just have to be humble. Somebody has made a signboard. This is the signboard. It's nice. Copy it. Don't be afraid of copying. In this church, almost all the things that we have done or I have done in the ministry, I copied from somewhere. I can show you, if you have the time, you just ask me, where did you copy this from? Anything you see, anything that we do in the ministry, even preaching, you just ask if you have the time, and that's if I want to answer you. No, I have to be sure that you have a good heart. If you have a good heart, I can show you. I said, this, I copied it from here. This, I copied it from here. This, I copied from here. Always, I'm copying. When I see somebody who is successful, because the reason why copying is important is because people do things without explaining why they are doing them. So you don't know the deep reason why they are doing something. And they don't often have time to explain it. Or they will not even know themselves why they are doing it. I play golf because Yongicho played golf. I thought, well, if he's playing golf, there must be something in it. After I've been playing, it is one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Apart from being a pastor. Yeah. But no one ever advised me to play. My father never played. No, and I didn't know anybody who played. But when I saw somebody I look up to, I heard him preach and mentioning it. I can't tell you the different benefits that I've had. Apart from everything, at a point, it becomes a health benefit. Yeah. But you see, you may not. And he never told. One day I was playing golf in Korea with Yongicho. It was one of the reasons why I've met certain people in the world. I was playing with only him and another person in Korea. And I was working with him and I said, I just want to thank him for inspiring me to play golf. He said, golf is very important. One time he was almost dying from a heart disease. And he said, a Japanese doctor who was an unbeliever, I told him, but you are a religious man. He said, I don't know what work you do, but the work you are doing, if you play golf, you add 10 years to your life. He said, a Japanese unbeliever doctor told him. Apart from your prayers, he doesn't believe in God. Japanese, they don't believe in God. But whatever it is, it will help you. Wow. Now, humble. Humble. In any area, politics, if somebody is successful, look at what makes him successful. If you are not successful, look at what makes you not successful. Business, look at what somebody is successful in. If this one is successful, that one is so humble. Learn it. Just copy. Embrace it. Do it. Paste it. One of the greatest things that I learned was when I watched an experiment between a three-year-old child and a three-year-old monkey. They put a three-year-old child and three-year-old monkey side by side. And they gave them the same work to do. Add this block to this one. Add this block to this one. Add this block to this. Put it in this. Turn it round. Press here. And the monkey, so they demonstrated to the child, and the child will rise up and do. Then they demonstrated to the monkey, and the monkey would rise up and do. But there was a difference. How many want to know the difference between a monkey and a man? Hey, Shabaya. This one is going to shock you. The shock was that
the little child, 3 years, the same age. The difference was that the child copied 100% of what the adult did. Put it here, turn here, press here, and then it comes round. He watched the adult do, then he did it. The monkey would copy, and leave one step and come back. And they concluded that the difference between human intelligence and animal intelligence is the ability to copy completely. Yeah, the ability to copy completely. Yeah, and it's true. Anybody who copies advances very quickly. You join, Abramovich called it in economics, he called it surging forward and catching up. He said, because you see, all poor countries are poor because of the same reason. And all rich countries are rich for the same reason. What work does a rich country do? What work do rich countries do? Is it politics? I'm asking you, what work do rich countries, what do they make? They make this. iPads, give me your phone, give me your watch, they make this. They make cars, they make televisions, sound systems, like Bishop Saki's red phone, they make clothes, textiles, all rich countries do that. Microphone I'm using, the watch I'm wearing, they make everything. What do poor countries do? Poor countries engage in another kind of activity called diminishing returns activities. Diminishing returns. You cannot compete by selling your tomatoes with somebody who is selling iPhones. No, think about it. You forget about the nation. You see, my time is already up. Look, forget about the nation. Think of it as an individual. A person is rich by the job he does. If I'm a doctor and I earn money by looking after patients, and somebody earns money by growing pepper, who do you think is going to be richer? The one who is practicing medicine. So what is causing him to be richer is the kind of job he's doing. So when you look at a nation, the kind of job that the nation does shows you whether the nation will be rich or poor. So when I see governments come and say that their main emphasis is agriculture, I just marvel. Because every prosperous country is prosperous in the same way. And unless you learn to copy, you will never surge forward and catch up. Never. You will never catch up. Never. Now, many years ago, the King of England, he went to stay in Burgundy in Europe with his auntie. When he came back, when he went there and he came to England, he discovered that the people in England were poor. And he realized that the job they were doing in England, you get it, was different from the job they were doing in Europe. All the people in Europe were making textiles and manufacturing something, and the people in England were all farmers. So then he decided, when he became the king, Henry the Seventh, the famous one you know is King Henry the Eighth, but this was the Seventh. When he became the king, he said, no, we are going to change the job of England from what we are doing, because he realized that even in Europe, even those who sell food were richer based on the main work the people were doing. That's why you see all poor countries, they'll say 70% agriculture. Everybody's the same. So when he became the England, he put a ban. He said that no one, they even introduced a death penalty to export raw products. Yeah, they said, if you like take one piece of cotton out, that is not 10, there'll be a death penalty. Because he saw that these people are becoming rich by doing that. When America was formed, America was formed by people leaving England to go across the sea to America. When they got there, the British people told the Americans that, you just be farmers and send us all the cocoa, the cotton, everything to us here in England. And we will make the products and send to you. So it will be an exchange. And you know what the Americans said? Americans said, never. Never. They said, listen to what the British are saying. Do what they did. Don't do what they say. Do what they did to become rich. Don't do what they say. What did they do? What did they do? They have industries and things that made them rich. So you copy the person who is already doing it. Copy. But you see, when you are proud, you say, oh. Now, 50 years ago, these people were not making televisions. Look at them today. They are making it like water now. Copy and be rich. You see, I'm pastoring a church. I've got churches in more than 60 countries, on islands, places. We don't owe money. There are a lot of things you could learn. Sometimes when I see the government says they are going to borrow, any plan that involves borrowing, the leader has not learned how to do something practically. Roll up your sleeve and let us work without borrowing money. Yeah. Every day something has to come from somewhere. No. Don't think like that. Those of you who are trying to do business, everything, I have to get a loan. I was telling somebody who was into gold mining. I said, look, there are a lot of, you don't know. The richest gold mine, the manager of the richest gold, he said, they don't owe money, don't have loans. You think all business is done with loans. Learn and learn to copy. The more you copy, the more you see that you keep going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. So a child is a copycat. That's why they learn languages. They learn everything. They just see and say, I want to follow you. That's why when you go to Europe, you know, I've driven through the whole of, when I was younger, I didn't have enough money. So I used to take lifts and drive through the whole of Europe. Just like how these days I drive through Africa. I've driven all through Mali, Burkina Faso, Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau. All these countries I've driven to Niger, all across. But those days I used to drive. Sometimes I sit in the car, the truck, and the man will be giving me a lift and I fall asleep because it's for a long time. When I open my eyes and I look around, I'll ask the driver. I used to sit in trucks for lifts. I ask the driver, where are we? He said, we are in Belgium. Then I fall asleep. So when I open my eyes, where are we? We are in France. Open my. Do you know why I was asking? Because everywhere looks the same. Every country is the same. When they have seen that you are making traffic light like this and we realize that it's better, we are also going to do the same. It's the same thing. Surging forward and catching up. Catch up. The strategy of humility is the strategy of being humble. You are selling chicken. Nobody is buying your chicken. Why don't you visit somebody who is selling chicken? A lot of people are buying his chicken. Find out. You'll be surprised. But when you go, you say, oh no, this one, this, this, and this, and that. You say, it's juju. You see how your mind is working. It is pride that is making you say that somebody's profit is from juju. If somebody is winning election, ask yourself, how does he win elections? Yeah, I shouldn't say it. I'll say it. What is he doing? Copy. If you want to be a pastor and somebody is successfully doing what he's doing, copy. Instead of trying to invent, oh,
we are looking into things. We are looking into certain things to see what to do.
Every poor country is doing the same thing. Look, I want to invite you to come to Healing Jesus Crusade. I don't know which country we are going to next. We were going to enter Liberia. You know, we cannot enter because there's no road. We showed the road is like this, water. The truck, no truck can drive. All from Cote d'Ivoire, from Guinea, from Bissau, all the angles we tried, we could not enter. When you drive through Africa, you see that Africa is the same, with the same kind of leaders, the same kind of governments, and the same kind of ideas. Yeah. Why don't we try something new? Amen. And copy. I'm telling you, this year, read all the verses on humility. They are wild. You'll be lifted. How many want a lift? Ish. You'll be exalted. How many want exaltation? Hey, God will not resist you. How many want God to stop resisting you this year? Yes, he will do it. If you can be like a child and say, I'm going to. When I wanted to do crusades, I decided to copy Reinhard Bonnke. Wow. Yeah. I copy. You see, if you come, I'll show you everything. I laugh at people who are not progressing sometimes. I realize that you don't want to be humble. I met Bonnke in Indonesia, and I met him in Lagos at in the hotel. When I met him in Lagos, we are meeting again, yeah. So I said, you are going for crusade? Yes, he's going somewhere inside Nigeria, deep in the north. So I said, so you come back, so how are the crusades? And so when are you starting? He said, Then he said, always, we do it for 5 days, always. 5 days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like that. I said, I see. I called my guy. I said, 5 days from now, it's 5 days. I don't know why he's done 5 days. Do it 5 days. I don't know why he does it for 5 days. Just do it 5 days. We are changing to from 2 days. We used to have one. We would go to as far as KJB in Kwanta, do a crusade for 2 days. I changed it to 5 days. I didn't know why he was in Nigeria. I said, let's go to Nigeria. There's something there. In Nigeria, can you believe, one night we saw 500,000 people, 500,000. I know the size of the crusade. We counted, real counting. You imagine how much is 500,000 people. How to gather the people. Yeah, how to do the crusade. Everything I've seen him that I can show you. He did this, I did it. He did it, I do. Like that. Hey, you'll be there and just be saying, I cannot learn. Don't blame anybody. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. This is your year for going up, 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 up. There are some things I want to say, but I've decided that I won't say them. Yeah. When I wanted to learn how to preach, I saw somebody preaching. And I found it so nice, I started to copy. One day, I put a video of that person. Nobody knew the person, but I was copying the person. So one day, I had a meeting of pastors and shepherds, and I decided I would just play it. I wasn't showing them, I was just saying, this is a nice message. When I put it in, somebody took a pen and paper. He was amazed when he started watching. And he started writing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So after we finished watching, I said, does anybody have anything to say? And one person stood up and said, I have 36 things that are the same that you do that he does. 36 things that I saw in this video. 36 different things that I saw. Amazing. But you are a seamstress. Look at the style you are sewing. A style that is still not working. Do you understand? Look at you are a caterer. Nobody is eating your wache. Why don't you go to Katawood Yesu and see what they are doing there? Do you know Katawood Yesu? That is real wache. Go and find out what is in this wache. One day, a lady came to sell wache near my house. She made a kiosk and everything. I was just watching her. I sent somebody to go and buy one once. Then I ate and said, okay. After some 3 months, I saw that they have come for the kiosk. She didn't. Because when I tasted, I said, no, this one, she needs revelation. Yeah, she needs revelation. Tell somebody this year, I'm prepared to be a copycat. I'm prepared to be a copycat, to learn something. A real copycat. Whatever area, ministry, whatever. Look at this sister. You are nicer than her, but she has a beloved. Hey! What is it that you are not doing that she is doing? Why don't you study her?
and look at her ways,
you realize that she smiles more than you smile. Because you don't smile, you don't talk, you don't say anything. Yeah, straight face. Always angry. Praying and angry, but always pray, either praying or angry. This is your year of being humble, like a child. Stand to your feet, everybody. All right. Lift your hand and just pray, Lord, I want you to help me to be a humble person this year in the name of Jesus. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord and He will lift you up. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for all the scriptures you've shown us today. But if we are humble, you will exalt us. You will take us forward. Give us the grace to become like children. Who can copy, can learn, can repeat, can just repeat what is said, can say the same thing 100 times. They are not shy. They are not ashamed. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the spirit of humility that is coming on the business community in the church. Thank you for the spirit of humility that is coming upon the pastors, upon the people in the church, the workers and everybody in all that we are doing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your healing for our lives. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. Father, thank you for humility. Thank you for humility. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. And everyone said, amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, before I take my seat, I want to ask you, if you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Help me to know God. Maybe somebody invited you. This is the first Sunday of the year. This is the best time for you to give your life to God. If you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just your right hand. God bless you. God bless. Pastor, I want to give my life to God, to Jesus Christ. Look at your left and right. You see people who stood here and lifted up their hand humbly and gave themselves to God. This is your opportunity to also lift your hand and say, yes, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me in the front. I want to pray with you in front here. Just come with your hand lifted up. Just come quickly. Wherever you are standing, quickly, I need you to come right now and stand with me here. I'm coming downstairs to meet you. Come and let's pray for 1 minute. God is going to change your life. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. God will lift you up. God will help you. God will save you. God will change your life as you humble yourself this year. And this is the best way for you to start to give your life to Jesus Christ. Come from the back, wherever you are standing, with your hand up. Jesus, I receive you. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, my Master, and my Lord. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother.
By the side of the Lord.
Lift your hands and say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord and my Master. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Forgive me for all my sins. Oh, let's all say together, today, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master and my Lord. Dear Father, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Have mercy on me and cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.